The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Good morning. It is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. No, it's not going to be doom-mongering like Ground Zero was just talking about here, trying to push aside some of the negativity and get to some of the positivity. But yet there's a lot of weird stuff going on there, too. But there's also life to continue to live too, in spite of the fact of feeble people running the country and various other things, you still have to live. And I did something over the weekend that I never thought I would do. I haven't gone to a high school reunion in 35 years. Yeah, 35 years. And so I said, okay, I'm going to spend the money. I said, Linda, you want to go? Linda does not want to go with me. She does not want to go to my high school reunion in Ohio. She says, I'll just be sitting there. I won't know any of these people. Why? So she won't come with me, but the Myelin Melon Festival will be in full force a little bit later this summer, and they always do the high school reunions during that time. So it's my 45th. I haven't seen some of these people for 35 years, and I called up my old friend Bob Ortman. And say, hey, Bob, you going to be around that week? And he says, oh, yeah. I just wanted to make sure that Bob's there along with a handful of other people. And the Myelin Melon Festival is, Myelin is about the size, I've talked a little bit about this in the past, but Myelin is about the size of Jacksonville. About the size of Jacksonville, it's that that kind of feel, maybe a little bit larger. And unlike Jacksonville, though, it actually has a town square with a little town courthouse. And it's like a Norman Rockwell town. It's the birthplace of Thomas Edison. That's one of the fame. That's why I went to Edison High School. We were the Edison Chargers, you know. And pretty small area, about 2,500 in the village. And the school district was all combined. It was combined with Berlin Heights and Huron and various other districts. There were various cities around it because otherwise it just wouldn't have been enough to really support its own school district. And my graduating class of 1979, if I recall, was in the neighborhood of 160. 160 students. That was it. And it was a four-year high school out on Route 113. Great place. And it was a wonderful experience. I mean, it was a big difference because I had spent a couple of years in Southern California during that time. In my freshman year, I was at Edison, and then my dad got transferred out to California for a couple of years. And that's how I first got exposed to the West Coast, which is why I'm here now, really. But a couple of years in El Toro, Mission Viejo, in which the school was 4,000 to 5,000 people. You want to talk about feeling lost in a sea of nothingness out there? Having come from a small town, you know, like Myelin. And so we ended up going back for my late junior, and then I graduated there in my senior year. And just great people, just wonderful people. And they always do the the reunion during the Myelin Melon Festival. And yes, they have the Melon Queen. And you can imagine every time when they crown the Melon Queen, the stupid boys in high school, we'd always do our laugh. Hey, you're the Melon Queen. But yeah, they'll do that. And they have cantaloupe ice cream served in half melons and funnel cakes and the carnivals and pierogies. And I think that's probably going to be my favorite part about it is having some of the Eastern European food. You don't see as much of that out here on the West Coast as I do, you know, back in Myelin and Pittsburgh and various other places where I used to live. But anyway, I'll tell you how that goes. I'm sure it's going to be one of those things where we're looking around at one another, you know, all of these class members in the room and going, my, how the years have flown. I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about. I'll tell you about that when it happens. It'll be a little later this summer, okay? But anyway, yeah, you got to keep living your life in spite of all of the craziness, okay? Let's see. When it comes to crazy, nothing crazier than wildfire policy here in Southern Oregon and Northern California. But we have that new fire in Northern California, Siskiyou County. It's now up to 4,000 acres, Shelley Fire. No containment on that one. And they had a meeting last night at the high school to talk about the latest containment efforts. And this is on the Klamath National Forest. 1,400 people are working that one. Meanwhile, in Southern Oregon, the Salt Creek Fire out by Lake Creek, Jackson County, they're getting some handle on that. It's about 40% lined, figure about 1,500 acres. Doesn't appear to have grown much. The biggest impact of that has been smoke. Smoke and air quality yesterday was not real good here in Southern Oregon, at least in the city of Medford, Ashland. I don't know. Did it affect much of Grants Pass? I don't know if the wind was going in that direction, but yeah, between the heat and the smoke, it was kind of oppressive in the afternoon. But less fire activity or less smoke this morning. But there was some increased fire activity. Greg Roberts will give us a quick update on that around 8 o'clock or so. He'll give us the latest, and that's when we find out a little bit more on what's been going on with the fires here. And that's about it. Let's see. A measure to help Oregon cannabis workers unionize headed to the November ballot, according to this labor group. Hey, just what we need, weed workers, right? UFCW, yeah, this is United Food and Commercial Workers. Maybe we can call it United Food and Commercial Weedsters, Local 555 said yesterday, expects to qualify a measure on the November ballot that would require owners of cannabis dispensaries and processors to allow workers to unionize without interfering. Dan Clay, who's the president of UFCW, Local 555, says that the union represents tens of thousands of retail and grocery in Oregon and says 163,000 signatures submitted, and they figure that's well over the 117,000 needed. And it's a pretty dramatic turn that have followed the union's push to organize cannabis workers. So you're a cannabis worker. What kind of demands do you think cannabis workers would be making? I don't know. It could be fun. It could be a fun little exercise. Like, dude, we want to break at 420, and we want to break at 520, and another break at 620, and a mental health break at 720. Yeah, I know. Yeah, just because you're working in the cannabis industry doesn't mean you're consuming the product. I know. But you can't help. You can't help it, right? I can't help myself when you're talking about the Weedsters. Now, that's actually one of only a handful of ballot measures that we're going to have this year in the general election. There is a ballot measure that would give every state resident would be given roughly $750 a year from increased corporate taxes. So we would tax the wealthy. We would tax the corporations. You know, this is like a Bernie bro kind of deal, right? So they'd raise corporate taxes, and then they would give every state resident roughly $750 a year. And 168,000 signatures have been submitted to the Secretary of State. That was last week. And that also seems to be well above that. So we have the cannabis worker one. We have the give everybody $750 a year. Then we tax the corporations. Yeah, the Bernie bros would want to do that. That would be an increase in the minimum corporate tax and minimum business tax. So in other words, businesses that make no money would have to pay more money to the state of Oregon in order to give everybody $750 a year. But I would figure that there are enough corrupt Oregon residents that they would probably say, oh, yeah, it's more free money. We'll take that. It's kind of like when the cities and the counties say, oh, it's grant stream funding. It's free money. Okay. We'll see how that goes. But let's see, what else is going on? Oh, there's a third ballot measure, and this from Oregon Live, by the way, a third ballot measure referral from lawmakers, and this has been pushed by then-House Speaker Dan Rayfield, a Democrat from Corvallis, would create ranked choice voting. Oh, boy. Ranked choice voting in all of our elections. Federal and state races is what it would go into. Ranked choice voting sounds really good. It's almost like you vote for the person you want and then for your second placer. But then you end up getting to this situation where it's just, you know, an amazing number of recounts and everything like that. It's very confusing. They can't explain it to you easily. I'll try to get some people on that can explain this, but it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. And I could even think of how Sarah Palin, I forget what she was running for. It was a federal position she was running for, but ranked choice voting ended up taking her out, even though she had actually, you know, won the initial run of races. And I'm not a big fan of this sort of stuff. Vote for the person and have that be it, okay? Let's see. Now, the school voucher type system, you know, that one, let them learn, that went down. They didn't have enough. They ended up making that announcement last week, by the way. And let's see. I'm trying to think if there's anything. I'll just kind of skipping through it. That seems to be about what we're going to be facing so far. Ranked choice voting. Ranked choice voting, $750 a year, and unionizing the weed workers. So there we go. National news, Biden working the phones in a battle to save his reelection bid with the Democrats. And Democrats are starting to return to his camp. In fact, he sent a letter to congressional Democrats yesterday saying he's not going anywhere. I think he sent it by Pony Express. So that doesn't necessarily help any. I know it doesn't help him to say I'm not too old for this. Not too old. Gosh, I even try to talk like him. It doesn't work, right? And you have to do the whisper shout. It ain't gonna happen. Biden's been facing mounting calls, of course, from members of his own party to step aside, suspend his reelection campaign following the debate performance. And honestly, though, the more I've been looking at this, and I maybe you figure this out by this time, too, there aren't a lot of ways to get rid of him unless you're going to Amendment 25 him right now. And they really don't want to do that because you got to figure the main reason why the Biden crime family is hanging on to this because they have to keep the pardon power. Right? They have to keep the pardon power. And it's not that Joe wants to use the pardon power for Hunter, or anybody else prior to the election, because that would just completely destroy any chance for the Democrats. But you got to hang on and maybe get it into, you know, the early years of the next administration. That's kind of how I'm looking at this thing. But yeah, they got to hang on to that. And it's really not even about Biden. It's about the former Obama apparatchiks that are, you know, surrounding him. I'm sure they like the power and everything else. And I know they're talking about, yeah, there was a Parkinson's doctor that had gone there several times, nine times, and that's the latest there. But let's be honest that nothing much is probably going to happen unless Joe wants it to happen. I know there's talk about having him step aside, and then they do this just like a blitzkrieg of quick hurry up primaries, and then they put Michelle Obama in or someone else. But I don't know. I don't think they're really going that. They've made their bed. They're going to have to lay in it at this point. That also means that the people still will suffer under a Biden administration. Now, Biden would be probably easier to beat than most anybody else they could put up there. You know something they don't talk much about, though, either? Is the funding that Biden has in his war chest. He's like $130 million. I was reading that over the weekend. $130 million in campaign funding, which is not a small amount of money. And if Biden were to just quit, it doesn't just automatically go back to the DNC or to Kamala Harris or anything. It just doesn't. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So he's got the money and he has the position. And unfortunately, it does appear that the Democrats, unfortunately for Democrats, they seem to be going back and starting closing the wagons around. I mean, there are people that are still, you know, broken out and criticizing and saying, hey, step aside. But it doesn't appear he's going anywhere at this point. President Trump, also in presidential politics, supposedly next week when the GOP convention starts, is going to announce his VP pick. And insiders are starting to talk about Tim Scott. I hope it's not Tim. Not that Tim's a bad guy, but Tim reminds me of those. You know, when I talk about the baby seals that get clubbed in the Republican Party in the state of Oregon, you know, how the naive Republicans, there are many of them from Southern Oregon, too, not all of them, but the naive Republicans that say, you know, the Democrats are just like us, and we just, you know, need to reach across the aisle and work with them and help pass Democrat legislation. You know, and then they get clubbed to death like baby seals up in the Arctic. You know, Tim kind of reminds me of that. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because he's too nice of a guy. It's just like I couldn't do that job. People would think I've been accused of being, you know, too nice of a guy. But I'm not running. I'm not that sort of thing. But They're talking about Tim Scott. I hope not. Because whoever you look at as the vice presidential appointee, whoever Trump is going to appoint, is going to automatically be the president for the next election cycle after that. So I would just hope it would be someone that, yeah, maybe a Doug Burgum type who is boring but reliable. I don't know. Because you can't outshine Donald Trump either. You don't want to outshine Donald Trump. That is not going to work. That will not work well. And that's why someone like, you hear these people that are talking about Tulsi Gabbard. Well, first of all, she's a Democrat. I know the Republicans have moved to the left over the years, but come on, let's not just appoint a full-blown Democrat, all right? And, you can't have someone who's hotter than Donald up on the stage. It's just not, that's not going to work. Unless it's Melania, then it's okay. You know, then it's okay. City of Grants Pass tomorrow is going to have a public forum on homeless camping. It's going to be 6 o'clock tomorrow night. State Rep and also Grants Pass City Councilor Dwayne Junker is going to join me. We're going to talk more about this after 8 o'clock because he's really concerned that the people of Grants Pass are about to be screwed by the city council if the people don't just really rise up. Because there's a whole lot of folks in Grants Pass, mostly from the left persuasion, that really don't want to fight back or push back. They're kind of comfortable with that Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals thing that was squished upon them, but even though the Supreme Court got rid of it last week, and none of that stuff matters, none of it's unconstitutional, but people in Grants Pass are hot and bothered. They want their parks back, rather, and I don't blame them. Parks back, and it's. We'll talk more about that after 8 o'clock this morning. Okay, so we'll have that story. Oh, another fire note I forgot to mention when I was talking about the fires here a few minutes ago. Because of the fire danger, BLM Medford ended up putting more use restrictions on BLM land here starting today. It actually went into effect, so smoking only inside your vehicle and operating a motor vehicle, parking off road, only allowed that don't on areas that don't have any flammable grass and vegetation, that sort of thing. And naturally, if you're stupid enough to be using exploding targets or tracer, I don't understand you if you're out there shooting on the lands and using explosive targets and tracers. But you have to be told not to use that out there. Don't do it. And, of course, fireworks and chainsaw use and no welding and no operating a torch with an open flame, things like that. And I think they also banned campfires on the lower part of the road, too, of the wild and scenic. So don't even try it. Don't go there. You could use, like, little propane appliances, but that is about it. And not the most important story of the day, but something I saw on CNN, which is kind of, I don't know if it saddened me, but it kind of went, oh, yeah. Remember Tonka Toy? Tonka Trucks? Used to play with those all the time. They were the best, right? And the Tonka Toy parent company has filed for bankruptcy, so I don't think Tonka is going to necessarily go away. But Basic Fun, Florida-based toy design and development company that owned Tonka, Chapter 11 bankruptcy, and so their debt's about $100 million, and its assets less than $50,000. Boy, I don't know. Maybe we're not going to have Tonka trucks around, or maybe Tonka trucks will be spun off to someone else. And you know what they're looking at here? What really killed them was when Toys R Us went down in flames. That was it. Some of these manufacturers really moved a lot through Toys R Us, and the online hasn't necessarily picked up the slack on that. 6:29, and you're on KMED at 99.3 KBXG, waking up with the Bill Meyer Show.
The Rogue Gardener, fertilizing your mind.
Adding some fertilizer to stimulate growth can be okay. I don't even do it anymore with trees and shrubs, but I do it with short-term crops, vegetables, annuals. Every day that you lose with those plants without having growth-type fertilizers to help them get growing, not established, because I'm not worried about the plant establishing in the hole. I want it to grow.
Talk to Stan Saturdays 10 to noon, Sunday morning encore at 9. The Rogue Gardener on KMED, sponsored by Grange Co-op.
Bi-Coastal Media's 2024 Best of Southern Oregon Magazine, presented by Dusty's Transmissions, is publishing in July. Thank you to all of our winners and advertisers who will appear in the coming edition. In the meantime, you can visit bestofsouthernoregon.com to flip through the current magazine and find all of Southern Oregon's best suppliers of goods and services. Also, please email rvcontact@bicoastal.media if your business is interested in being a pickup location for the 2024 Best of Southern Oregon magazine.
Hey, you've heard me say that cell phone service with Pure Talk is half the cost of Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. $20 a month, you get unlimited talk and text, plenty of data, and you think, okay, Hannity, what's the catch? Well, there isn't one. Just ask the thousands of listeners who have made the switch of mine, and they love Pure Talk and their U.S. customer service, the great coverage on America's most dependable 5G network. Dial #250, say the keyword save now to start saving now on your cell phone plan.
Hi, I'm Lisa with Pacific Survey Supply, and I'm on KMED.
6:31. Another interesting little wrinkle in local politics. Mark Seligman talked to me. We'll talk with him more about this tomorrow. Going to invite him on. You know, he's challenging, as a Democrat, State Rep Dwayne Junker in Josephine County, because, you know, Dwayne's going to be running for re-election. And Mark is an interesting cat, as you will know. Every now and then I'll talk with him. But apparently the Democrat Party has thrown him out, or is saying that he's no longer allowed to go to their meetings in Josephine County. It's kind of weird, you know. Now, I know that that Mark is not everyone's cup of tea. You know, we get that. But the Democrats, I guess, Mark agrees with the Democrats, the Josephine County Democrats, when it comes to the national issues. So there's no problem with that. But he is not about supporting the Democrats when it comes to the Oregon issues, which I find very interesting. And they're calling him disruptive. But we'll ask him a bit about that tomorrow. I think he's going to have a tough time against I think Dwayne Junker's got that one pretty much signed, sealed, and delivered. I mean, he's pretty much going to be at, you know, Josephine County, pretty conservative one. But I don't know. But still, an interesting little brouhaha, little intra-party, well, drama, I guess, is the way to look at that. So we'll kick that around. A lot of people were requesting, by the way, I've got some emails over the last few weeks about getting Jason Shepherd back on. He's a social media guy and with Wimkin Social Media Group. And he also has this app called Date on the Right, in which they get right-wing people together and meeting up and forming families. You know, it's something that he's been really working on for a while. But kind of interesting how the Supreme Court ended up kicking back the social media restrictions cases back down to the lower courts. So we're going to get his take on that, how it affects it. And I'm just kind of curious how Date on the Right is doing there, too, because one of the most important things that we can be doing is, you know, demographics is destiny. And when it comes right down to it, right wing needs to have more babies. Okay, let's be real. It means more families, you know, that kind of thing. You know, we need to be like Utah in that respect. Be like Utah without electing Mitt Romney types, okay? That's another interesting story, too. I have to get Joel Skousen on from World Affairs Brief. He says that, and I agree with him, that conservatives are going to have to be much more discerning in the elections, because in most of the primary challenges, when you had a conventional Republican, meaning liberal Republican, that's really what it means. A mainstream Republican is really a liberal Republican going up against a conservative challenger, that the non-thinking Republicans would always end up going for the mainstream, the mainstream. And so they end up continuing to send rhinos to state legislatures and also to the to Congress and beyond. And they just don't seem to understand. You have to look beyond the negative attack ads that that big money from the mainstream will tend to do. But interesting. We got a lot to talk about this morning. 6:34, Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. This is KMED and KBXG.
American Rancher Garage services most vehicles and offers state-of-the-art amenities, affordable pricing, and prompt service you can trust. If you're looking for a reliable, full-service automotive repair shop that provides old-fashioned service to keep you and your busy life moving, you've found it right here, just across the street from Elmer's on Biddle. Call, stop by, or text us through our website at AmericanRancher.com. 541-499-6673. American Rancher Garage, we are united through service.
Hi, it's John at Welburn's Weapons. The only thing better than shooting is shooting with a suppressor. Welburn's is Southern Oregon's suppressor headquarters, stocking models from Silencer Code, Dead Air, Griffin Armament, Rugged, Q, Thunderbeast, and many more. and we can order practically any suppressor on the market. Check in with us for monthly incentives to save on suppressors, too. Come see the suppressor experts, Welburn's Weapons on Crater Lake Highway, just south of White City.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here is what's going on. More hot weather today with a high of 108 expected in the area, along with poor air conditions due to smoke. Temperatures are expected to hit at least 100 degrees daily through the weekend. The Salt Creek Fire burning northeast of Medford near Lake Creek and Jackson County was held to 1,500 acres Monday despite increased fire activity last night. That fire is now 40% contained. Air and ground resources aggressively attacked the fire as more adverse weather picked up Monday afternoon. A 20-year-old man allegedly shot and killed two teenage sisters in Klamath Falls. Elijah Croy allegedly told police he tried to kill the girl's father in a Klamath Falls house June 29th after the dad discovered Croy in his daughter's bedroom. The gun failed to fire when Croy shot at Toshka Qualls, but did fire when he then shot the man's daughters, Alika and Zion Qualls, killing them both. Croy's been charged with two counts of first-degree murder and one count of attempted murder. Bill London, KMED.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. House Democrats have come out against a Republican bill that would require proof of U.S. citizenship in order to vote in federal elections. So-called SAVE Act could come to a vote in the House next week. The latest White House press briefing, a bit contentious. Karine Jean-Pierre, peppered with questions about why a Parkinson's disease specialist visited the White House many times over the past few years. Former President Trump will be hitting the campaign trail again later today, holding another of his signature rallies. This one will take place at his golf club in Doral, Florida. Former Hurricane Beryl, now a tropical depression, has been drenching Arkansas this morning. It left millions of people in Texas and Louisiana without power, and the storm is blamed for at least seven deaths in Texas and one death in Louisiana. The opening bell just sounding on Wall Street now. This is SRN News.
The words you are about to hear are taken from letters sent in by members of the Trinity Debt Management Program.
Dear Trinity, today I'm making my final credit card payment.
Before I came to you, I was in a constant state of anxiety and panic, but now there is hope for my family's financial future.
Working with Trinity made me understand that I'm not alone.
You really do help people.
Your kindness will never be forgotten.
Without Trinity's support, I would not have achieved my lifelong goal of becoming debt-free.
We saved a lot on interest and penalties, of course, but the reward was the gift of human kindness.
Trinity has carried me through a very difficult time in my life. You're amazing.
I used to feel so anxious and hopeless. Now I feel grace and peace.
God bless Trinity as you continue to help others become debt-free.
If credit card debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496. That's 1-800-936-5496.
More and more listeners are saving real money by calling Sky Park Insurance. Here's Kathy from Central Point.
I was actually very excited about insurance because he saved me money and got me more coverage on both my house and my car. I save $1,300 a year. Thanks, Steve.
Sky Park Insurance is an independent insurance company, and it shops for the best rates among several name brand companies. Call Steve for a quote at 261-5444. That's 261-5444.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
Access your stored items safe and secure. Storage at Exit 24 has all sizes of units with traditional outdoor access that are brightly lit with wide paved drives. Affordable RV and boat parking is available too. Conveniently located off I-5. Storage at exit24.com.
Coming up on the next Hughes Lumber. When 2x4s get together, only one thing can happen. Walls get built. Check out the studs, followed by contractors and do-it-yourselfers, featuring lumber, hardware, and siding, starring decks, additions, and ADUs. It's the return of home enhancements. But watch out for that knotty pine. Get the best build for your buck values at Hughes Lumber, your top show for quality, price, selection, service. So don't miss Hughes Lumber on Crater Lake Highway next to Garrison's.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Rick.
You okay?
Yeah, why?
Well, your wife said you were in quite the fender bender the other day.
Oh, I was. Luckily, no one was hurt.
I heard you smashed into your whole front end.
Yeah, it was scary.
Your whole front end? smashed in?
Yeah.
And you were driving this? This car? Right here?
Yeah.
The car I'm looking at right now?
Yeah, I know some guys.
Get to know Lithia Body and Paint. Service, speed, accuracy. Repair so good, it's like it never happened. On Bullock Road off Crater Lake Highway in Medford.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
It is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. I thought we were going to talk with Jason Shepherd from Wimkin, but something happened. We can't get a hold of him. We'll probably reschedule him. We'll talk that Supreme Court case another time, which means that, hey, if you got something on your mind, we'll certainly kick around that along with other news of the day that I wanted to join in on, okay? 770-563-3770-KMED. My email, by the way, is bill@billmyershow.com. You know, Betty from Josephine County ended up writing me this morning. She's all hot and bothered about what's going on with the parks, and I completely appreciate that. Like I said, we'll talk with Dwayne Yunker about that a little bit later on. But she says, stop buying the Oregon lottery. Stop buying Oregon lottery tickets because a lot of the money ends up going into state parks. And I just, I don't know quite, Betty, why you're upset about that. The amount of money coming out of the Oregon lottery each year, by the way, is about $500 million. It's not a small amount of money, but it's also not a huge amount of money either. You know, $500 million a year in the grand scheme of Oregon's budget, which is tens of billions of dollars every couple of years. It's not huge, but a lot of it ends up going for school financing. I think more than half of it ends up going to public schools in one form or another. So you have a quarter of a million going into various other, you know, whether it's, you know, environmental and business development and things like that. And yeah, there is for the parks there, too. One of the biggest problems, though, is that people think that there's way more money coming out of the lottery system than there really is. It's not, like I said, it's not small, but it's not exactly a huge amount either, because people are always saying, well, there's not enough money for this. Let's just go to the lottery. It's tapped out pretty much. OK. All right. Open phones on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, 770-563-3. Cherry, you are first up. Good to have you on. What are you thinking today? Huh? Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, Cherry.
This is me. I just have to make a comment.
Oh, okay. Now, Cherry, I just introduced you. I introduced you. I said, Cherry, how you doing? And then you said, this is me. I know. Just...
Oh.
All right.
Sorry about that. Well, anyway, when I saw the debate, I thought to myself, this is kind of weird. It's not abuse of the elderly. It's abuse of the corpse.
Abuse of the corpse. Okay. So you're going beyond that, huh?
Yeah. So anyway, to get to this movie, my hubby, believe it or not, chose this movie called The Image of You. And it's literally, I thought, was a chick flick. I thought, two gals or whatever. And it's interesting because Mira Sorvino is in this.
Good actress.
And she is incredible, and she was also a victim of Harvey Weinstein. So I thought, you know, she quit acting because of that. Now she's starting. I thought this must be a good movie, and it is. It's a guilty pleasure. It's beautiful. It's thrilling.
Could you give me a basic plot synopsis on this? Because is it on the streaming services? Where'd you find it?
No, it's on Dish, and it's a pay-per-view. I got it free.
Okay.
I get one movie a month free. And so I thought, well, if it isn't any good, at least it's free.
So The Image of You, you liked it, but the basic take on it, so you have Mira Sorvino and who else?
And Nestor Carbonell.
Mm-hmm.
He's excellent. He was on Suddenly Susan decades ago. So, but he was really good in this. And I thought, you know, it's got so many subtleties. It's got fun and pleasure. And then all.
Could you give me just a plot synopsis,
sure,
though? I just want people to try to understand what it's about.
It's about twin sisters.
Oh.
And to give you more, it would be like to give away the whole movie. But it goes along with these two sisters and how they feel about each other and how their parents feel about them and their life and their style.
Okay, and you thought that it was going to be a chick flick, but it ended up being much deeper than that then.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
It really was. And it was very interesting, the twist in it and the ending of it. And it what kind of disturbs me, though, in the life of movies is when the bad guy turns out to be the winner at the end. This is what I don't like. The bad guys come out smelling like a rose when the good guys don't.
Have you noticed that there have been more movies doing that in which they're unsatisfying ends in many ways?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that the good guys don't always win in our culture. I get that.
Right.
But,
yeah.
You know, it used to be you would go to a movie to almost escape that reality in which, you know, the guy always gets the sweetheart and, you know, everybody lives happily ever after. And things. It's almost like it's gone completely off kilter in that respect. In that respect, would you say?
It did, and it was very that kind of made me shocked and angry a little bit at the end. I cannot say what it was. And in other words, they showed the ending first.
Oh, I hate those. Cherry, you said this is a good movie, but I hate that type of movie in which. Here's the end, and here's the body bleeding and things like that. And then all of a sudden, it's like 2 weeks ago. And then the whole movie is about the 2 weeks ago. Oh, come on.
You got it. But I know what you're thinking. But you have to look beyond that because it's not about that. That is the trick. It's a trick, and it's a mean trick.
All right.
But it was a beautiful, it had beautiful people.
All right, we'll take that. So the image of you, we'll give that. You see, you're our resident film reviewer, so I'm good with that. But
right. But
thanks for warning me that it has that stupid thing that everyone's doing now. Here's what happened.
Yeah.
You know, here's the end of the film, and now we're going to tell you how we got here. It's like, yeah. And you know, the other thing that I have tired of has been how every television show, if there's a show of some sort, whether it's NCIS or whatever it is, you can't just have a plot line. You have to have five plot lines all interacting. It's like it's being done for everyone with a short attention span theater kind of thing. You know, if we don't, and also when they have five plot lines, three of them involving friends and or family. Oh, stop it! You know, just stop it.
So to get back, the beekeeper, I saw that again. That is an assassin movie. You have to see that. It is free. I don't know if it's streaming, but it's somewhere.
Yeah, well, you know, you're talking my style when it's about assassins and CIA and everything else. You know, then I'm all into that. So Beekeeper it shall be. All right.
Yes.
Hey, Cherry, since you're a Medford resident, I wanted to ask you this question. I was going to pose this to people. I'm going to have you be the first victim of it. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Last week, Rogue Valley Times ended up reporting. Major convention center and high-rise hotel is eyed for downtown Medford. I don't know if you subscribe or not. Do you subscribe?
I subscribe to God.
Okay, got it. All right. So in other words, you don't subscribe, so I'm telling you something you didn't know. But anyway, the city of Medford, meaning the city council and, of course, the city manager types and things like that, and they are – a few years ago, they said that a convention center was not a good idea. And, of course, I told everybody back then that it wasn't a good idea. Now, magically, it possibly could be a good idea. And so they're going to finish up this $60,000 study, and they're looking at locations downtown. They'll need several acres for this, and they want to be able to have more than 1,000 people attend. And they're doing this because apparently people are dumping out of Portland because of safety concerns, all right? So they want that down here. But they want a public-private partnership. Now, public-private partnership means people like you and me have to pay something, usually in the utility fees or something like that, in order to grease the skids. Should we do it for a convention center type that essentially is a tourist attraction?
Yes, I think it might be a great idea because then it would.
No, it's a great idea. I get that.
Right.
However, should we have to pay for someone else's great idea?
No.
Okay, see, I didn't phrase the question correctly. All right, thank you. All right. That's what I was wondering. Because
All
right, because see, what I'm saying is that, you know, every plan is going to come up here with usually some increase on the parks and utility fee here. That's going to be the goal. That will be the goal they're trying to condition people right now. So anyway, thank you very much. Appreciate the review. We'll talk soon. This is the Bill Meyer Show, KMED and KBXG.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art snap-lock machines, we bring precise and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com and discover the ease of quality of metal roofing done right. Transform your home with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today. Get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736.
4th of July appliance savings are happening now at the Home Depot, so upgrade with innovative appliance brands like GE Profile. Modernize your kitchen with a new GE Profile four-door French door refrigerator with hands-free auto-fill dispenser. And with the GE Profile ultra-fast combo washer-dryer, you can tackle large loads in about 2 hours. Save up to $2,400 on select kitchen packages with 4th of July savings at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Pricing valid June 19th through July 10th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
Did you know that with Good Guys Guns Background Concierge Service, customers get approved the same day? And for under 21-year-old customers, Good Guys Guns at 4934 Crater Lake Avenue gets you approved in half the time of the big box stores. That's right. Good Guys Background Concierge Service gets you your firearm faster than the other guys. And this service is free with every firearm purchase. Good Guys Guns, the Valley's firearm leader. 4934 Crater Lake Avenue. Good Guys Guns.
Good Guys Guns.
This is Insurance Agent A.
Hey.
He sells for one company only.
It's the absolute best.
To my right, an exemplary insurance agent, an independent, which means...
I can help you research multiple insurance plans, giving you a much better look at who actually has the better coverage.
Well, that's not fair.
That's not what our customers say.
Well, I can't compete with that.
Home, auto, health, life. Sky Park Insurance is your local independent agency that shops for the best coverage for less. Steve makes insurance easy.
106.3 KMED, and this is the Bill Meyer Show.
Jason Shepherd joins me. We did find him. He had a little scheduling snafu. We got to figure it out, though. Jason Shepherd, we talked with him several times over the years. He's the founder of Wimkin Social Media, Wimkin Social Media, and also DateOnTheRight.com, which I really appreciate his point of view on that. You want to talk about finding friendly places for conservatives to get together, family formation, all the rest of it. Jason, welcome back to the show. Great to have you on.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Wanted to talk with you a little bit since you run a social media company. By the way, how is DateOnTheRight.com doing? And do you need more people to join that? And how does that actually work, first off?
Well, we are still fighting Apple to get our approval. So hopefully any day this week we'll be in the Apple store, because we're going to launch actually when Google Play is already approved. Obviously the website's there, but we want to launch when everybody can actually use it. So hopefully just a couple more days, Bill.
Okay. And is it pretty much the way I talk about, you know, where actual conservatives are getting in there, and it's really kind of styled to make sure that right-wing people are able to get together with like-minded people, right?
Yeah, I mean, right wing is probably not the best thing to say there, but yeah, it's certainly conservative. You just don't have the 77 different genders and, you know, sexual preferences and things like that on the app, though.
Oh, okay, all right. And do you have a tattoo choice? Is there a tattoo choice?
No, there's nothing of that on there. I mean, it's pretty much just common sense dating, you know, just to where people can kind of be safe again, especially young people on college campuses. As you know, that's not very safe for them to come out as conservative right now.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering about the tattoo thing, because the last time that I was dating, so it's been a long time since I was was dating. We're talking 26, 27 years ago. And it was a situation where, at that point, the big controversy was not your gender identity, but whether you had tattoos or not. I don't know if that's still a big thing or not, or if it's so common.
I don't think it's a big thing now, but... you know, I'm sure people just have their preferences, but I know exactly what you're talking about, because when you referenced that time frame, I was roughly coming out of high school, so yeah. It certainly was a big deal then, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, What I wanted to talk with you about, though, is what it's like setting up or working within the social media world, given what the Supreme Court did the other week, because it affected you directly, actually. And there were a number of states, a number of red states, that were trying to put restrictions on social media platforms. I think Florida was one of them. But the Supreme Court ended up kicking those out and sending them back to the lower courts. How, if any way, does that affect you and other social media companies?
Well, so first and foremost, what happens here is, you know, everything, it's if you had a perfect world, even as a free speech absolutist like I am with Wimkin, you know, offering free speech, Section 230 of the CDA, which is the Consumer Decency Act, really needs to be repealed. So now what the Murphy versus, versus Missouri case, I'm sorry, I can't speak this morning, oh my goodness, but that was actually to limit you know, let's just say the Biden administration, because that's where this started, and, you know, certain ABC agencies not to be able to collude with social media companies.
Yeah, yeah, to not twist the arms, say, hey, you know, it's like they would come up to you, the CIA comes to you and says, hey, Jason, nice social media company you got here. Be ashamed if something happened to it, right? So you're going to restrict that, right?
You got a great voice for radio right there, my
Glad friend. You that like it. Glad you like it. All right.
But yeah, you hit that on the head. I mean, realistically, and we saw with the Twitter files that Matt Taibbi and Elon Musk, you know, actually released roughly, let's say, about 18 months ago now, that not only, you know, was the FBI colluding with them, but they actually had they were paying for access and they had legitimate residency in the San Francisco offices. So, you know, and when this came out, you know, they threw out the lawsuit stating that, hey, you didn't prove that there was actual collusion and they're not, you know, taking an extra step to fight the First Amendment. But you know, I certainly believe when you have emails from the FBI and you have canceled checks from the FBI paid to Twitter executives, and obviously the Hunter Biden laptop was certainly suppressed.
Certainly.
You have that's legitimate proof. So that's how it really affects us first and foremost. Now the Biden administration can come to us and say, we want you to take this down or demand us to take this down. Now, we had a history with, you know, the House Select Committee on J6 prior to where they asked us to provide information on every single person on our platform, and we said no. Now we'll probably have to, you know, do that or, you know, risk being penalized or shut down in the future. And, you know, something, Bill, it's not even just here in the United States anymore. I mean, you have the Digital Services Act, which is from the EU, and they're, you know, contacting the United States and Twitters and even us over, you know, Palestinian misinformation. They deem whatever they deem as misinformation, they demand you take that down or they'll fine.
Well, in other words, differences of opinion are now being defined as disinformation,
exactly.
Right? And that's my concern. And it's not my feelings about the Jews or the Palestinians. It's not that. It's just like, sure. Wait a minute, it's not their place to be doing this kind of stuff.
It's 100% not their place. And then they'll fine you up to 10% of your global annual revenue. Now, for somebody like Facebook and somebody like, well, I don't know how much Twitter is making right now, but Facebook certainly is making a lot. I mean, that's probably the close to, you know, smaller countries' gross domestic product, to be honest with you. But, you know, when it comes down to this, too, we had a recent case probably, what, 5 or 6 months ago where the in Australia, the pastor was stabbed. And that pastor was completely fine with having that crime shown in, you know, on X and other platforms. Mm-hmm. And actually, Australia, the ministry over there said they contacted us and demanded them to take that down. So it's interesting to see. And then obviously with this ruling, I'm anxious to see what happens with the disastrous debate for Biden, because now they can call or they can visit Twitter and visit all of us and say, you have to take this down. So it's really interesting. It really does affect every single social media platform out there.
So the Supreme Court case that kicked out the red state restrictions, is that a big deal? And the Murphy v. Missouri is a bigger one from what I'm hearing, right?
So I think Murphy v. Missouri is pretty much the standard set now. There are some things we still have. I mean, we had an injunction that was in place for these, you know, the Biden officials basically is what it was for, and to not be able to collude with people. Now, the timing of this is very interesting, though, you know, basically three plus months, you know, away from the election. And, you know, we all saw in 2020 what was, you know, happening with censorship. I referenced the Hunter Biden laptop. I referenced, you know, the Twitter files. I mean, these things are legitimate issues. You know, when Zuckerberg came out on the Joe Rogan podcast and said, yes, the FBI contacted him and said, you probably shouldn't publish what's about to come out. It's about a Hunter Biden laptop, and we deem it as Russian misinformation.
So don't you, Jason Wimkin, as a social media company guy, then you have to wonder then, what are you going to be asked, or what is every social media company going to be asked to restrict or tamp down prior to November elections this time? You have to wonder that.
Yes. Right? And you know what? If you if your listeners want to go to my website, they can actually see, I exhibit the demand letters that Benny Thompson from the House Select Committee sent to us, and your listeners' stomach will turn. I mean, they ask for every single piece of information on our users, down to credit card numbers, down to private text messages. And we're not talking about just a couple people they wanted this from on a subpoena. They wanted every piece of information. So if your users want to, I'm sorry, your listeners want to go ahead and read those, they can at jcshepard.com. That's S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D.com.
Wow.
And they're under Jace's fight. There's 6 pages of government demands there. And honestly, Bill, I think we're about to get some of those again. I thought we were in the clear, but, you know, this is the most important election of any of our lifetimes. It's the old cliche, but it certainly is. And there's some serious desperation out there right now more than ever. So I think we're probably going to get hit with something again.
And when you have a presidential candidate like Donald Trump, who on his opposition side is considered literally Hitler, it's by any means necessary. And by any means necessary means that we pull all the levers of power, which includes squashing social media. You can figure this is going to happen then.
I really do believe so. I mean, all you hear is he's the greatest threat to democracy. So certainly they're going to play that card, and they're going to come and try to hit us as hard as we can. And, you know, I really don't want to have to cooperate with these people, but I certainly see it coming, because Wimkin, you know, we were mentioned in, you know, the almost every single January 6th, or I guess J6ers interviews, we were actually mentioned in there if anybody utilized our platform to commit crimes. So, and no one did, but still, you know, we got caught up in that, and we still fight about it every single day. You know, to monetize, it's almost impossible to monetize Wimkin through big tech, which we should be allowed that opportunity. But yeah, I do expect them to do something to us. I expect them to at least start sending letters to say, hey, take down this post, take down this post. And let's just say it'll probably take us about 4 months to do that, because I'm not going to sway the election. I'm going to take the, in a reasonable amount of time, maybe take a look at it, but mm-hmm. I'm not going to do that before November 5th.
jcshepard.com, if you wanted to read these papers. And I'm going to go do that today here, Jason. And as far as dateontheright.com, that's sort of self-explanatory. I'll get that up there. Are they going after that kind of social media, too? Because it would seem that that would be much more innocuous, or is it not? Are they just going after Wimkin?
It's just after Wimkin. I mean, I don't think they're going to go after dating apps. I've not seen that as of yet. And, you know, it's just realistically, people do see people's profiles and things. They're swiping on things, but they're not going to be able to comment. They're not going to be able to share that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not going to ever get out there en masse. Like a social media post could go viral.
Jason, kind of a philosophical question. I know that there has been a big push to get people who are of a more conservative bent to actually do what you're doing, you know, putting out media and communication tools in order to help. Is it perhaps time to actually start a different internet? I don't even know if something like that is possible at this point, and to kind of let go of the World Wide Web of the DARPA. You know, the DARPA-created mm-hmm. World Wide Web surveillance grid, which is essentially what we have right now. Is that something even possible, you think?
Well, see, you're really well read on this, because a lot of people don't know that DARPA was, you know, pivotal in starting Facebook. You know, and then you have just suddenly, hey, this check-in feature. Every person can check in and show exactly where they are at all times. That's not something that Facebook came up with on their own. But, you know, to be honest with you, Bill, the other internet right now is the dark web. I would not suggest anybody going there. I mean, it's very dangerous. You can get yourself into a lot of trouble.
Sure.
You can fall into something you didn't even mean to. But, you know, I don't know. I would imagine that the FCC would be able to shut anything down that you were trying to do that's, you know, not going to be regulated by them. So, that's a great idea. I just don't know. You know, we were talking about starting a cell phone to keep it more private from, you know, the targeted ads and things of that nature. And that right there is its own, you're going to need billions of dollars to do that. I mean, so to do something like the internet, oh my goodness, you would need Elon Musk money times 10.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I just thought I'd at least, you know, float the, you know, the prospect, because I know that there is such a backbone, and we just call it the internet. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Let us just disconnect from the internet and create Internet 2.0 or something like that.
Yeah.
But in other words, privately owned, privately controlled, and at a completely privatized sort of situation with no government involvement whatsoever. And I don't know if that's even possible. And gosh, you know, if Elon's finding himself in trouble all the time, he has tons of satellites up there. May he be the one that could do that, probably.
that's what I was actually just, you know, thinking. I'm like, listen, you need an internet service provider to get there, first and foremost.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously that's regulated by the FCC. Mobile phone data, which can get you to the internet, that's regulated by the FCC. So, you know, Starlink is probably the only one that actually could do it and might even just say, oh, yeah, let's go ahead and do this. But, you know, you can find probably 30 or 40 of, you know, very, very wealthy people that, you know, if they're on your wavelength, so to speak, and they're trying to kind of get some freedom in the world, they could certainly afford to build that, but it would take some time. And you know what, Bill, it's honestly, that could be in the works right now. We don't know, but I certainly would love to see it. I like to see any type of alternative as a choice, not that I would always use them, but to have something out there rather than to depend on one thing is certainly that's attractive to me.
Yeah, because right now we have essentially the one thing, the globalist surveillance blob internet. And right now it's like, you know, when it comes right now, I'm like using a Star Wars kind of reference and the Terminator sort of thing. You have, you know, essentially where we all belong to Skynet right now, right? That's essentially where we're all part of Skynet, even if we're just sending dog and cat videos, you know, through email. Okay.
Yes. You know, it's so funny. There's so much now in the last, you know, let's just say we could even say 10 years, but certainly more recent. It does sound like it's all out of a sci-fi movie, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, something that was so far-fetched, what Terminator 2 was, if I'm not mistaken, 1992. So you're literally 32 years from that. And people were like, oh my goodness, what is this? But literally, we're right there now. So it's quite an interesting thing to think about.
Hmm. Perhaps the real warriors in the future, or maybe even right now, are not the soldiers, but the ones that can hack the net. You know, essentially, maybe that's where it's going to end up going at this point. Hey, Jason, I really appreciate the take on this. And once again, to see what kind of information was being requested of the J6 at your social media company, Wimkin Social Media, J.C. Shepherd, SHEPPARD.com. And I'm going to take a look at that later on. We'll certainly have you back there. And if you're looking to get together with someone of like mind, dateontheright.com, getting ready to launch here in the next day or two, you're going to finally get that ready. Going to be on.
Yep. As soon as Apple gives us that approval, which we have one or two more hurdles to clear with them, we will be good to go. So yes, I will. We'll have the Publius team send you a message to let you know that's up.
All right. Appreciate that. We'll have you back. Thank you, Jason.
Thanks so much, Bill.
Jason Shepherd is the founder of Wimkin Social Media, and of course, intelligence agencies and Congress have come after him for info too. It's 8 after 7, KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford.